By the grace of God, we gather here again tonight to glorify the Holy Spirit of God, the King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who searches the deep things of God. We pray that the Holy Spirit stays with us despite our weaknesses, despite our sinfulness, to guide us in these lessons so we can all profit accordingly. I also would like to thank Father John, your worthy shepherd, who led us in the prayer to the Holy Spirit who is God and whom the world does not know. The world today is a world that has rejected the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, which proceeds from the Father and is sent to the world by the Father and the Son, and the Son is beginning to pull the Holy Spirit away from our churches because our churches have become secular or worldly. Our lifestyle has become materialistic. And according to St. Paul, we put out, we extinguish the flame of the Spirit of God. In the vision of St. John in Patmos, in the first chapter of the book of the Revelation, Christ says to the seven churches that if you are not careful, I will put out the seven lampstands of Philadelphia, Laodicea, Ephesus, Philadelphia, and so on. And the question is, where are these local and historical churches? They are gone. They have been uprooted. The sinfulness of the members of those congregations outweighed the prayer of the faithful. And when that happens, that type of church has no reason for existence. It is pushed out to the outer court to become one with the nations who will embrace the Antichrist. Our topic tonight will center around spiritual renewal. And yes, there is much talk today about renewal of the Orthodox Church of America. But let us be 100% sure that an Orthodox Church never needs to be renewed. The Church of Christ, being the body of Christ, does not get old, does not get boring. The divine liturgy cannot be modernized or perfected. The Orthodox Church of Christ, being a perfect and divine organism, the Orthodox Church cannot be renewed. New and old refer to time and space. And the Orthodox Church is above time and beyond space. So where is the root of the problem? It is with you and I. We stopped being Orthodox. Our phronema, our mindset, has been seduced and bombarded by all kinds of philosophies, ideologies, heresies, New Age concepts, paganism, secularism, from all the smoke from the well of the abyss, because we have given up the Orthodox way of the Holy Church Fathers, who were drenched in the Holy Spirit. We need to study the Church Fathers daily. The voice of the Church Fathers must come alive in the Church. This is the renewal that us Western Orthodox we need desperately. This is the one thing that is mostly needed in our American Orthodoxy. We need to get back to the theology and the teachings of the Church Fathers. As Greek Americans, we have excelled at the qualities of Martha, but it is Maria that shows the good side of things. Again, in this three-part series of our lessons, we will be basing a great deal of our time on the phronema, or the mindset, of the teachings of the Church Fathers, young and old, contemporary and past. The Church Fathers interpreted God's will over the Church's history. Our Church holds the authority of the Church Fathers equal to that of the prophets of the Old Testament. Our tradition holds that when Saint Basil would be writing at his office, the faithful would often see a dove whispering at his ear. St. John the Chrysostom entered into the nous, or the mind, of St. Paul so much that at times the faithful would see St. Paul actually bending over him and instructing him the exact meaning of his epistles. When a pilgrim asked St. Anthony the meaning of a certain verse from the books of Moses in the Old Testament, St. Anthony prayed fervently to God and asked him, "Lord, I'm a man of few letters. Please send Moses to help me." Moses appeared instantly to assist St. Anthony, and he disappeared. But we must be careful today, because the evil spirits are also very busy deceiving the world by all kinds of counterfeit miracles, which are easily swallowed by our uninformed and unconditioned Christians. Tonight, we will attempt to point out some specific aspects of Orthodox spirituality, briefly going over some of the steps or the guidelines offered by our church fathers to keep us on the true path. The bitter truth today is that very few people are willing to walk and discover that path. Next Tuesday night, we will concentrate heavily on the value and power of prayer. And the final session, we will be discussing some basic concerns from the Book of the Revelation and the glorious second coming of Christ. So what is lacking today in our Orthodox congregations? What is changing our churches to social clubs and community halls rather than spiritual centers, healing places for the traumatized men of the 20th century? Generally speaking, the inactivity of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit is present in all of us. By the grace of God, we happen to be baptized and chrismated Orthodox Christians, but our beliefs, actions, and lifestyle have extinguished the flame of the Holy Spirit. This is why we're often bored, depressed, lonely, anxious, edgy, exhausted, guilty, forever running and not getting anywhere, searching and not finding. St. Paul prophesied about our congregations a couple thousand years ago, and we find some verses in 2 Timothy that describe our terrible times, the times of the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient, unforgiving, conceited, lovers of pleasure, having a form of godliness, but denying its power thereof. Have nothing to do with them. St. Paul is talking about Christians that had the Holy Spirit, were baptized, but started to love the world. So the Holy Spirit, respecting their wishes, has left them. St. Paul also writes, "Heretikon anthropon, a man who is a heretic, meta protis ki defteras nuthesias paretu," meaning a person who is disagreeing with your holy church, the godly teaching of your holy church, have nothing to do with that person after you try once or twice to show them the true teaching of the church. So you don't want to listen to St. Paul. You know more than him. You think you can go to an Orthodox Bible study 1 week and a non-Orthodox or a Protestant a week later? Why? Because you have more love and compassion and you are more understanding, more so than St. Paul? Let's listen to this, the beauty of the Spirit in St. Paul, Timothy 6:3, 1 Timothy. "If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing." Arianism, Monophysitism, Gnosticism, Catholicism, Protestantism, Born-Agonism, Non-Denominationalism, they are full of false doctrines. St. Paul says specifically, If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to his church and to godly teaching, meaning the prophets, the apostles, the church fathers, and the tradition of the church, that person is conceited and understands nothing. His Holiness, the Pope, teaches that he is infallible and the authority of God in the world, and without Pope there is no salvation. According to St. Paul, he understands nothing. He's conceited. All the Protestant televangelists with their smooth tongues, after years and years of ministry and thousands of followers, they do not accept that the church has seven sacraments, body and blood of Christ, saints and martyrs, divine liturgy. They understand nothing. And a good number of our Orthodox priests understand nothing when they encourage you to study your faith and try to learn about God from books of people who understand nothing about God. Why am I getting carried away with this and risking the possibility of upsetting some of you? Because it is a matter of salvation. We will never have a spiritual life without true faith. A person who accepts false doctrines offends the Holy Spirit of God and will never develop the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Christ himself told a Samaritan woman, Saint Fotini, that the new worshipers, the Christians, will worship God in spirit and truth. Not only we do not worship God when we are holding on to false doctrines, but we offend him. In America today, there are over 2,500 Christian denominations. They all claim to believe in God and Christ, and they have convinced most of us to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But they have 2,500 different doctrines, and according to St. Paul, they understand nothing. So we repeat over and over again, to start a spiritual renewal, we need true faith. First, orthodoxia. And the fruit of the faith, the expression of the true faith, will be good works, meaning patience, gentleness, endurance, righteousness, godliness, and finally love. Love is the cross-section of all good works. We are saved by faith and works, according to St. James. Orthodoxia and orthopraxia. God, the absolute truth, the truth himself, cannot be glorified by falsehoods. What glorifies God is the correct beliefs that we have about him. Inventing false doctrines about the person of the Holy Spirit or the person of Jesus Christ offends God heavily. This is probably the hardest thing for Orthodox America to understand and accept. If my doctrine and my basic beliefs are not precisely defined, I will be swimming in the ocean of confusion. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the Holy Spirit is simply an energy of God and not a person, that blasphemes the Holy Spirit. They also believe Christ is a creation of God and not truly God. A person who blasphemes God in this way cannot have the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit does not rest outside of the Holy Orthodox Church. This may be shocking to some of you, but the Holy Spirit will act outside of the church, and it will always do so to attract and bring converts into the church, to get someone to repent, to search. The uncreated light of God surrounded St. Paul to bring him into the body of the believers. Cornelius had great deeds and great faith, and his prayers were sincere. But without holy baptism and holy communion, he would not be saved. It is often said that orthodoxy is the best kept secret in America. So if people can be saved without orthodoxy, if people can be saved in every belief that they hold, then where's the crime? What is so criminal about keeping orthodoxy the best secret in America? So from this we can see that orthodoxy has to do with salvation. There's another secret that has been kept from many American Orthodox. The Holy Spirit sanctifies only in the Orthodox Church. One of the most respected contemporary theologians, proto-presbyter, and also teacher of the Theological School of Bucharest in Yugoslavia, Father Dimitrios Staniloe, repeats, "The grace of salvation cannot be received anywhere but only in the Orthodox Church, because it is the energy of Christ which stays the same today and tomorrow in the Church." And the most respected Holy Father also writes that salvation in the Protestant formations is terribly impossible because it is lacking in the unity with Christ through the true faith. Also, the faith of the Protestants lacks the grace of the Holy Mysteries because they lack the sacrament of priesthood. And this view of this Holy Father is shared by all contemporary Greek and Athenite fathers and also the rest of the Holy Fathers of Orthodoxy. My friends, I know in advance that these are hard teachings, but these teachings have never been doubted by the faithful for centuries. The Holy Spirit does not lead to theosis outside of the true Church of Christ. If our church believed that the Holy Spirit could sanctify and offer gifts outside of the church, then there would be no need for holy chrismation to accept converts of other Christian communities. If Christians could easily be saved outside of the church, outside of sacramental life, outside of Orthodox spirituality, then once again, where is the crime of keeping orthodoxy a secret in America? Believe me, this is a very serious matter and one that could take our whole session. But our topic is spiritual life, and I repeat, without true faith, true dogma, absolute truth, we cannot develop a spiritual life. We have among us today a great number of forms and expressions that may appear to be spiritual, but St. Paul warns us, he tells St. Timothy about this type of false spirituality, that there will be terrible times in the last days, as we mentioned earlier. St. Paul says that those that belong to Christ Jesus crucified their flesh along with their passions and their evil desires, which are the birthplace of the passions. This, according to St. Paul, defines spiritual life. St. Ignatius, Apostolic Father, spiritual child of St. John the Divine, St. Ignatius of Antioch, and a great martyr of the church, writes in one of his letters, "Stay in Christ Jesus spiritually and with your body. There is no separation between flesh and spirit." Today, many of the evangelical churches, the Lutheran churches, and we see these articles in the newspaper constantly about a task force that came up with a 21-page report, and this supposedly spiritual task force, amongst other things, discovers that masturbation, I'm sorry for offending your ears, but masturbation is healthy. The Bible may support some homosexual unions and teaching teens how to use condoms to prevent disease is a moral imperative. My friends, these teachings come from hell's deepest dungeons. I will remind you the visitation of Abraham by the three angels, who was the Holy Trinity, in the form of the Holy Trinity. One of the persons of the Holy Trinity, presumably the Father, says, let's go and check this human perversion. Let's go see what is this that is reaching all the way to heaven. This wants to show that the Holy Trinity was shocked by this human perversion of homosexuality. God the Father stays at the higher place with Abraham and sends the other two persons to visit Sodom and Gomorrah to save the faithful who happens to be Lot and his family, and to destroy the rest of the people. This very vivid historical picture symbolizes the action of the Holy Trinity in our world. The Father wants to save us, and he sends his Son to visit us and to teach us to walk like him, to live like him, so we can resurrect like him and ascend like him. He finished his work. He left us his body and blood to nourish us, and he sent the third person of the Holy Spirit to guide and work out our salvation in the church. So salvation is from the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity, which is one in essence. Homosexuality, premarital sex, fornication, adultery, masturbation are very serious sins that totally separate us from God. St. Paul specifically says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, that people that practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. When a sin of this nature is performed by the body is somehow stamped with an indelible stamp, a specific stamp, and this stamp makes the body incapable to resurrect for the kingdom. The body will resurrect, but will be condemned to hell. Only through repentance and holy confession, this stamp can be erased. And we have so many examples in our holy faith, the examples of Saint Mary the Egyptian and so many other saints that give us the beauty of our faith, that yes, we can be saved even if we are the worst sinners. All we need to do is repent. In paradise, there will be many, many, many sinners that repented. No one unrepented will enter paradise, and this is the teaching of the church. And Holy Father Saint Ignatius continues, a spiritual person must be thoroughly drenched with the Holy Spirit, fermented by the Holy Spirit. A spiritual person is the person who lives a life constantly laboring and striving to attract the Holy Spirit of God. Saint Seraphim of Sarov says that the purpose of our life is the acquisition of the Holy Spirit. Also, we must have constant memory of God, constant watchfulness and guarding of ourselves and our senses, and guarding of our news or our thoughts. This concept of nepsis, spiritual watchfulness, which can be achieved by noetic or noera prosephi, noetic prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. This is the concept that can purify our heart. The person who is beginning the unseen warfare, he is the person who enlisted himself in Christ, in Christ's army, to fight all evil thoughts and all evil desires. Once again, this process is called nepsis by the fathers of the Philokalia, who specialized and perfected this process this warfare against the devil. Without this method, we will not purify our hearts. And without a pure heart, no one can see God. To help us with this struggle, we need to study the Holy Bible often, receive the sacraments of the church, our spiritual weapons, the help of the spiritual brothers, and of course, the ever so important guidance of our spiritual father, who also believes in these matters. This method of nepsis will solidify us in our faith and will fulfill our understanding with constant training. We will learn to paralyze the works of the devil, who is eager to devour us. We must learn to use this process. Every sin that we committed and continue to commit starts out as a simple thought or a desire. Eve accepted an initial temptation from the devil. She persisted in the dialogue. She agreed with the thought and finally carried out the sin. So we have three stages that take place before the actual sin: the seduction, the dialogue, and the agreement. And this can be true in any situation. In any type of sinful situation, we first have the sinful thought. The thought comes in. Then we begin to think this out, rationalize it in our mind. And this is the dialogue part. And then we justify it. We simply justify it in our minds. And this is the part of the agreement. And the only thing that's left is to carry out the sin. No, we cannot control the thoughts that come into our minds. That's true. However, it's what we do with these thoughts that counts. If we begin to think these thoughts out and begin to work it in our minds, then we will certainly have a problem and fall to sin. As Father Paisios of Holy Mountain says, thoughts are like airplanes. They fly over us all the time. We hear the noise. However, they are not going to land next to us if there's no airport there. So, in the same way, if we have a thought, try to chase it away by the Jesus prayer. And the Holy Father says, yes, do not build an airport in your heart. In other words, don't let these thoughts stay on and on and on, because they are going to be permanently in your heart, and of course they'll lead you to sin.